أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 18. قال اخرج منها مذءوما مدحورا لمن تبعك منهم لأملأن جهنم منكم أجمعين. He said, be gone hence, blameful, banished. Whoever of them follows you, I will surely fill hell with you all. Continuing the conversation between God and Iblis. Now, again, Allah orders him to get out of the place, of course, the spiritual place that he was in. As you have noticed here, we have three times Allah ordering Iblis to get out of his place. One is in verse number 13, قَالَ فَحْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. He said, get out of, get down from it. It's not for you to be arrogant here. And then he again said, فَخْرُجْ, be gone, go out. You are indeed from the degraded ones. And again here it says, أُخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Now the three, of course, denotes three different aspects of this degradation. The first one is just without any qualification, get out of here because you cannot have arrogance here. And then the second one is that because you are arrogant, now in my eyes you are very small, very low. Whoever, this is of course in traditions as well about human beings, whoever has takabbur is very small in the eyes of God. And whoever has humbleness is very great in the eyes of God. So because you have takabbur, go out of it. And go out of it now, mina sagirin. You are very small in my eyes. You are neglectable, so to speak. You are very trivial now among my creation, degraded. And here, after the conversation that he has with God, that I will do this, I will do that, I will seize human beings from right, left, behind, and front, Allah says, now you are a very, very dangerous and blameful creature. لَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا. Now, before he said, go, you are very small, you are trivial because you have takabbur. After he says that I'm going to do these things, Allah says, now you are a very blameful creature. Go out while you are very blameful. And look what you have done to yourself by that arrogance. You have made yourself مَذْءُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Now, مَذْءُوم, of course, goes back to the very quality of Iblis, because dham and dham means aib, defect, something which makes a person liable for blame, a shortfall in the nature of something. And here is Allah says that now you are madhum, you have great defect in you, you have great shortfalls in your qualities now, so get out while you are like that. And madhur means while you are rejected from my vicinity, from my mercy. Madhur, dahar, dahar means tardun shadid, very strongly rejecting something. And I strongly reject you now. And it's interesting, this madhum and madhura comes after shaitan somehow increases and enhances his arrogance by saying that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So, I don't mind you do these things. La man tabi'aka minhum. La is for qasam, this lam is for qasam, that means I swear. من تبعك منهم لأملأن, and this lam is جواب القسم, I will surely fill hell with you all, لأملأن جهنم منكم أجمعين. Now, what Allah mentions is that because of this dham or aib, the defect which is in you, which is arrogance, this arrogance is contagious, and people can take it from you. And whoever does this will be like you. And I make no discrimination between you and between human beings. Because shaitan is actually trying to prove for Allah that you are wrong. I will do all these things, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَأَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَأَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, from front, behind, left, right, as we explained, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, you will not find most of them grateful. And you have actually given this priority to man because you think that he's going to be grateful, to be thankful to you. You wouldn't find that in human beings. And therefore, you were wrong in the first place, telling me to prostrate for Adam. So shaitan is trying to prove for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you were wrong. And Allah says, I don't mind any one of you who follows you, I will fill hell from you all. And right from the beginning, therefore, shaitan knows what is the punishment for him. And of course, he knows what is hell, which is the fire, which is the result of the rage, which comes from the disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, some of the exegetes say that this men here, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, is somehow denoting that some of them, and some of you and them, of course, shaitan, and some of human beings, I will send to hell. Not all of them, not everyone who disobeys and follows you. But, of course, it doesn't go very well. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, all of you. Anyone who follows you, I will fill hell with you. And this creates, if we say all of you, this creates a problem. And that means whosoever disobeys God with a simple sin, following shaitan, should go to hell. And we know that this is not the case. And we know that many people who follow shaitan, like many mu'minun, at times they follow shaitan in the sense that they obey him in what he whispers, and it therefore makes them qualified to go to hell. Of course, this لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ should be qualified. That means whoever follows you and does not repent, whoever follows you and is not qualified to receive my mercy. Because even shaitan, if he has a repentant heart, he is qualified to receive Allah's mercy. So whoever follows you, I will fill hell with you. Those of them who do not certainly repent, who are not remorseful of what they do, and are not qualified to receive shafa'a and rahmah and all these things. And on the day of judgment, of course, shaitan would see that because of certain qualities in human beings, many of them will be saved from the fire of the hell. And this problem which I mentioned has somehow forced some of the exegetes to say, men here let tab'id, for saying that it's part of the human beings that would go to hell, not everyone. We can approach this from another angle as well, and that is whoever follows shaitan, a follower is someone who usually does things in most of the cases on the pattern of someone else. That is what we call follower. Not anyone who, and in one respect or in one instance or a couple of instances, listens to someone. That is not the follower. It's just like the discussion which Shias and Sunnis have about the companions of the Prophet, peace be on him. Because the Sunnis say whoever has seen the prophets while he was a mu'min, he is a companion of the Prophet. Even if, for example, they have seen the Prophet for a couple of minutes or just by passing, we regard them as companions of the Prophet. And then all the qualities of companions of Prophet, like, for example, respect, not doing anything against Sharia, not sinning, and all these things will include them. The Shias argue that a companion is someone who is usually with someone else for a period of time at least, who has learned things from someone else, has followed them. This is the meaning of companion. So not anyone who has seen the Prophet could be defined as a companion of the Prophet. Here also, a follower of Shaitan is not someone who occasionally commits a sin, especially grave sins. And this is why Allah mentions in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ إِلَّا اللَّمَمِ. Those who avoid the big sins, unless in very, very occasional cases, I will forgive all of them. So someone who commits grave sin, except in very occasional cases, under certain circumstances, is not regarded to be follower of Shaitan. A follower of Shaitan is someone who, in most cases, who is actually directed towards the path of the Shaitan in most of the cases during his lifetime. This is what we call a follower of Shaitan. And, of course, these people would go to hell. So those people who commit small sins or who sometimes occasionally commit grave sins and are qualified for shafa'ah are not regarded to be followers of the shaitan. So this is the way we can explain, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will surely fill hell with you all. Now, after this conversation, this is all before Adam and Eve are placed in their garden. And also, the interesting thing is that Adam is unaware of all these things. He was created. He was presented to the angels. They were asked to prostrate for him. Iblis doesn't do that. And all these conversations with Allah, Adam is unaware of that. And after the creation, Allah mentions or tells to Adam, وَيَا Adam, أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ فَكُلَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. O Adam, dwell with your mates in paradise and eat thereof whence you wish, but do not approach this tree, lest you should be among the wrongdoers. Now, before talking about this Jannah, a very interesting thing is mentioned, a very interesting comparison is mentioned by Maybudi in his beautiful Tafsir Kashful Asrar wa Uddatul Abrar, a comparison between Iblis and Adam. He says that because of five things, Iblis was under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or actually bought the curse for himself. And because of five things, although Adam alayhi salam disobeyed, but because of five things, he bought the honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He bought the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First thing, لَمْ يُقِرَّ بِالذَّنْبِ. Iblis did not confess to his sin. You see that never here in the Quran Iblis says, I did wrong. Always he says, I'm wrong, right, and you are wrong. And he actually tries to prove this for Allah, that he was right and Allah was wrong. However, Adam أَقَرَّ بِالذَّنْبِ. He confessed to his sin. Although he did commit a sin, he confessed to it. And just coming back to our previous discussion, by committing one sin, Adam is not a follower of Shaitan. Adam was just deceived by Shaitan. So a follower of Shaitan is someone who systematically, permanently likes the way Shaitan acts and follows it. Not someone who is occasionally deceived by him. Okay, so he confessed to the sin. Secondly, Shaitan did not regret what he did. He was very proud of it, of course, that he did not prostrate to Adam. But Adam regretted. Adam and his wife, they regretted what they did. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We wronged ourselves. And this is the third thing as well. Shaitan did not blame himself. Rather, he blamed Allah. قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Because you led me astray. And this is very interesting that Shaitan calls Allah my Lord or my sustainer. And this is very interesting. Someone who sees God as his own sustainer, Rabbe, and then he does all these things against him. As I said, this should be a very, very stupid creature. Knowing all these things and doing the way, acting the way he acted, he should either be stupid or mad or crazy or something like that. And arrogance makes people and Jen crazy anyhow. So he did not blame himself. And Adam and Eve blamed themselves and asked for the mercy of Allah. Thirdly, never ever struck Shaitan that he should repent, because he thought he was right, because he thought that the blame is on God, not on him. And that was because of his arrogance. So he did not think that Tawbah is wajib. While Adam and Eve, of course, they repented. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. So Adam repented and Allah accepted the repentance. And the fifth thing, which is very, very important, and of course is something which Shaitan always tries to infect us with, it is that Shaitan qanata min rahmatillah. He was disappointed of mercy of God. He thought that by what he did, of course, God is not going to forgive him forever. And he did not ask for forgiveness anyhow, but he was disappointed as well. He thought that it's useless to ask because Allah is not going to forgive. While Adam, despite the great blame coming towards him from Allah after eating from that tree, he did not disappoint from mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Allah received him back. And this is, of course, a great lesson for us, that no matter what we have done in our lives, no matter what we have committed before, we should not be disappointed from the mercy of Allah. There's a very nice story in the Quran about when the angels inform Ibrahim alayhi salam about Ishaq, that they are going to, Allah is going to give him, to grant him a son after Ismail, in Surah Hijr. Allah mentions that نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ وَنَبِّئْهُمْ عَنْ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Inform them of the guests of Ibrahim. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ إِنَّا مِنْكُمْ وَجِلُونَ. They came to him. They arrived in his home. He said, we are frightened of you because of certain signs that he saw from them. He said, we are frightened. قَالُوا لَا تَوْجَلْ وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. They said, do not be frightened. And they gave him the good tidings of a very knowledgeable son. غُلَامٌ عَلِيمٌ is about Ishaq. غُلَامٌ حَلِيمٌ, a very patient son, is about Ismail, which is mentioned in Surah As-Saffat. So, وَبَشَّرُوهُ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. They informed him about a very knowledgeable son. Now, he said, قَالَ أَبَشَّرْتُمُونِي عَلَىٰ أَمَّسَّنِيَ الْكِبَرِ
فبما تبشروا.
Oh, you are giving me this information, this news, while I'm very old. It's not possible for someone like me to have a son anymore. قال أبشرتموني على أن مسني الكبر فبما تبشرون. Is it real? What are you talking about? قالوا بشرناك بالحق فلا تكن من القانطين. They said, we give you the right news. This is haq, and you shouldn't be from those who are disappointed from mercy of Allah. Now, even in such a case, an old man who naturally, in 99.9% of cases, cannot have a child, they say, why are you disappointed from mercy of Allah? قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الظَّالُونَ. He said, no, of course I'm not disappointed. I'm just asking, who will become disappointed from Allah's mercy except those who go astray, who do not know Allah, actually. So, this having hope in Allah, this is why in many traditions we have that the mu'min is always hopeful. The mu'min wakes up in the morning with hope because he knows that Allah's mercy is infinite. We don't know what Allah has in store for us tomorrow in His mercy and generous, merciful and generous giving. We don't know. So we always, even in the most difficult troubles of life, we have always be hopeful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually someone who has knowledge of God, always their life is filled with hope. And someone who is far away from Allah, their life is always filled with disappointment, with blame, with depression. And this is what we see from many philosophers who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, anyhow. وَيَا آدَمْ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. You and your zawj. Of course, here it should say zawjatuk, because zawj is for masculine, zawja is for feminine. However, because it is added to Adam alayhi salam, we know that it is female, and therefore it's better to delete the ta'ut ta'anis for the concise statement. أسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة. Now, one of the most controversial issues here is, what is this Jannah? What is this garden? I was reading Kashful Asrar of Maybudi, who is actually a commentary on the tafsir of Khaja Abdullah Al-Ansari, the great and famous mystic of the 5th century. And Maybudi was one of his students. And he discusses what this Jannah was. And he says, some of the Ahlul Bid'ah, those who are people of innovation, they say that this was a garden in heavens. In heavens, that means where the angels live. That means in a world like Barzakh, Malakut. Actually, Sama, where the angels live, is where we go when we die. Immediately we go to Barzakh, and it has several levels, therefore Samawat. And he says some of Ahlul Bid'ah say that this is a garden there, and some say it was just a garden on this earth. And he says, all these are innovations, and this was Jannatul Khuld. It was the paradise. So Allah actually dwelled, made Adam to dwell in paradise at the beginning. And then, because of his sin, he was driven away from it. Now, despite that, unfortunately, we have no other choice to say that we are one of those Ahlul Bid'ah. And we should believe that this garden was not paradise. Of course, this is how he describes people who say that. But we have very, very forceful reasons that this was not paradise. for the very simple reason that that paradise is acquired by action. And this paradise, this Jannah, was just given to Adam without any acts. Secondly, in Jannatul Khuld, there is no death. There is no reproduction. In this garden, Allah mentions that Adam knew that he was going to die. We will talk about this later. And Adam was going to reproduce there if he was not driven away from it. And thirdly, in Jannatul Khuld, shayateen are not allowed in. And in this garden, shaitan was there. And for this reason and for many other reasons, we believe that this was not Jannatul Khuld. And what Maybudi and many other Mufassirun like him say that believing in that is bid'ah, is wrong. Actually, they are making a very, very wrong judgment about Mufassirun who say that this was Jannatul Dunya, not Jannatul Akhirah. Now, in Tafsir al-Qummi, there is a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. سُئِلَ الصَّادِقُ عَنْ جَنَّةِ Adam. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about the garden of Adam. مِنْ جَنَانِ الدُّنْيَا كَانَتْ أَمْ مِنْ جَنَانِ الْآخِرَةِ. Was it from the gardens of Akhirah, which is paradise, or the gardens of dunya, of this world? فَقَالَ كَانَتْ مِنْ جَنَانِ الدُّنْيَا. It was from the gardens of this world. Akhirah has not come yet. Akhirah comes after people die, and then they are resurrected. And this is what shaitan actually knows. All the angels knew this. Because Akhirah, when shaitan says, أَنذَرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, give me respite until the day they are resurrected, it means shaitan knows there is going to be a resurrection. And the reason is that resurrection is not something which is related only to human beings. The angels, when they are created, right from the beginning, they know that they are going to die and there will be going to be a resurrection. They all believe in it. Just like us human beings, we have to believe in resurrection in the same way that angels have to believe in resurrection, because that affects them as well. And resurrection is something which includes everything, not only human beings, but only a small part of this creation. Although Allah has given us great honor and has talked to us in a way as we are the cream of the creation, and He has said that we have given you superiority over everything else, still we are a very small part of this whole creation. And the whole creation have resurrection, and angels know that. And that Jannatul Khuld comes after resurrection. So it was not possible that this from Jananul Akhirah. كانت من جنان الدنيا تطلع فيها الشمس والقمر. Sun and moon shined in that garden. That means it was just like this world. وَلَوْ كَانَتْ مِنْ جَنَانِ الْآخِرَةِ مَا خَرَجَ مِنْهَا أَبَدًا. And if it was from the gardens of Akhirah, Adam would never ever have come out of it. Because anyone entering that garden has entered it. It's just like you have come out of the womb of your mother, you never go back to the wombs. And you have come to this dunya, you never go back to the previous state. You go to Barzakh, you never come back to this world. You go to Akhirah, you never come back to Barzakh. It's as simple as that. It's a one-way road. So it was not from Jannatul Akhirah, it was from Jananul Dunya. Now, if it was from Jananul Dunya, so those qualities that Allah mentions here, that it was a garden, إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. You do not see the heat of sun here. You never go thirsty here. You never go hungry here. Well, it doesn't mean that hunger and thirst did not exist in that garden. It meant that there was such a provision that Adam never went hungry and never went thirsty. And this is, of course, very clear, because Allah mentions, وَكُلَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شَئْتُمَا. wherever and whatever you want, eat. And when they ate, it means that they felt hunger and they wanted to eat. And of course, the weather was very good. So it was from Jannat al-Dunya. However, as some exegetes have said, this was not actually one of the gardens of this world that we know. It was a garden which was between heaven and earth. By heaven, again, we mean Alamul Mithal. It was a garden which had the qualities of the gardens that we will, inshallah, see in Barzakh. The gardens with those qualities which are described for us in Barzakh, not in Akhirah. And Jannatul Barzakh, of course, we move out of it. Because then, when we go to Jannatul Barzakh, then we move out to Jannatul Akhirah. And it's Jannatul Akhirah that there is no exit from it. It had those qualities. That means Adam could see, Adam and Eve could see the gardens and the rivers and all those beautiful things which are connected to this world from Barzakh. Now, let me give you an example. Prophet, peace be on him, said, مَا بَيْنَ مَنْبَرِي وَقَبْرِي مَا بَيْنَ قَبْرِي وَمِنْبَرِي جَنَّةٌ رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ. Between my member, my pulpit, and my grave is a garden. Is a garden of the gardens of paradise. And that doesn't mean paradise of Akhirah, of course. That means paradise of Barzakh. So, that means anyone who has an eye to Barzakh, whose eyes are open to Barzakh, can see this garden, can see the trees, can see the rivers, can see every beautiful thing there. But since we do not see it, since our eyes are closed and blind to it, we cannot see it. And for example, if we go to Barzakh, if we are allowed to go to that place, between the member and the qabr of the Prophet, we would see that beautiful garden, which is the garden of Barzakh. Now, something which comes in mind is that actually Adam was seeing the parallel of Barzakh on the earth. That means where he was situated on the earth, he was, because he was created on the earth. Where he was situated, it was connected to those Barzakhi sort of things, which were very beautiful, and Adam was seeing it. And suddenly, by committing sin, everything disappeared. And that is the meaning of coming out of that garden. Not that Adam was sent somewhere. That's a probability I'm mentioning. Not that Adam was sent somewhere. Just by sinning, all those things disappeared from Adam alayhi salam. It's just like, for example, if someone is absolutely pure, pure heart, pure mind, and he can see things round which are very beautiful, from the power of Allah, from beauty of Allah, very, very beautiful. And suddenly committing a sin would make all these things to disappear from before his eyes. And this is something which may have happened for Adam, and this was قَالَحْبَتُ مِنْهَا. Go down from this. That means that you go down from this position. You do not see these things anymore. Otherwise, if Adam had not sinned, we will talk about this sin, of course, in details. If Adam had not sinned, then to the eternity, human beings could have enjoyed on the earth in a way that they would see all those gardens and beautiful things around them. Of course, we know that it was possible for Adam, but not for his children, because had he not sinned, his children would have sinned, and that would have disappeared. And this was something which Allah had destined, that Adam should live on earth. Now, either he should live on earth, either in that state, that was the state of seeing all those beautiful things which are connected to Barzakh, or in a state like us, which we do not see those things. Of course, even we, if we are pure, we can see those things sometimes, but that is not the, of course, overwhelming quality of human beings. They are now connected to another aspect of the earth, which is cut off from that aspect, unless we die and go and see those things. So, the Shia view about this garden, following the traditions, and this was only a sample tradition I mentioned, there are other traditions from A'imma alayhimus salam, saying that that garden was not the garden of Eden, so to speak. It was not the garden of Akhirah. It was just the garden on this earth, and Adam and his wife were banished from that to a different sort of status on this earth. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذَهِ الشَّجَرَةِ So you live in this garden, فَكُلَ مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا Eat wherever you wish, from whatever you wish. So that means they needed eating. And do not approach this tree. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ Now here, تَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ means that you will be from wrongdoers. Zalim. Zalim is someone who, well, zalim has many meanings. One of the meanings is shirk, for example. One of the meanings is kufr. One of the meanings is wronging oneself by doing something which harms a person. What is the meaning of this zulm that was committed by Adam and Eve? It was certainly a zulm. And we do not expect a prophet to commit a zulm. And the way this is explained by different exegetes, inshallah, we discuss this next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahiri.
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. I know this particular surah is going to raise so many questions and comments, so can you start with sisters, if anybody is ready on the sister side? No? Brothers? Ready? Yep.
Sheikh, a quick question on this conversation between Allah and Shaitan. What was the mode of conversation in terms of, is it very similar to how the prophets get the revelations, or how was the conversation taking place?
It was like an inspiration or something like that. It was certainly due to a medium, as some exegetes have said, through a medium, not direct conversation between Allah and Iblis, but we don't know how it took place.
Any sisters before we come to the brothers? Yeah, can you take the mic, please? There's a mic behind you, and switch it on. There's a switch. Can you switch on? There's
Yes, salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
When you said that that the Jannah that they were in, that it disappeared, but how did they then come into the earth and they were separated and they met up in Arafah? You know, the story that we hear.
Maybe we talk about this later on, that how did they lose each other. This is a story, of course, which is not very authentic, but it doesn't actually defy or reject the verses of the Quran in the way we explained it. It doesn't matter. They may have separated from each other for example, short distance, but when that was translated into this world's distance, it became very far away. It is possible, but those traditions also are not very, very authentic.
Thank you. Israel?
Alaykum as-salam.
You mentioned that Maybudi insists that it is Jannatul Khuld. But then when it comes to Surah Taha, we look at verse 120. It says, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ قَالَ يَا آدَمَ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى I mean, if he was already in an eternal paradise, why would Shaitan be telling him, shall I show it to, you know, show you an eternal, a tree which will give you eternal life?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that support against Maybudi, because we said that we do not follow Maybudi
yes,
in this.
Yes, no, I know, but yeah. I'm saying, how does he deal with it? Do you know? Or?
Well, probably they say that it was the paradise of Akhira, but I don't know how he explains it, actually. I have to refer to the verse in Maybudi to see how he explains it. Probably, you know, what happens in these cases, they explain this here, and then when they go to that, they forget about what they have said here, and they explain it in the way that, for example, we explain it. I will look this up for next week, inshallah, certainly. Yeah.
Any sisters?
I'm just asking, you know, you said Adam ate the apple, Eve, yeah, the story, from even the Christians believe that. How many years do you think Adam will be punished for eating that apple and his wife, Bibi Hawa?
How many years they were punished?
How many years will they be punished in the Day of Judgment? Will they, is it written in the Quran that they will be punished for
sinful acts? No, they wouldn't be. They were punished, and that's all, finished. They came out of the garden, that was the punishment.
But in the Day of Judgment, they will not be punished?
No, certainly not.
What's the reason?
Well, God doesn't punish people twice. They were punished already. Yeah.
Human beings are punished, aren't
they? Once, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they made Tawbah, they repented. And after that repentance, they came just like the first day, as they were. And therefore, on the Day of Judgment, Allah is not going to punish them. Anyone who commits a sin and repents, Allah is not going to punish them. But sometimes the sin have some sort of consequences in this world, which are unavoidable. And the unavoidable consequence of the sin was that Adam and Eve just disappeared from that paradise, that garden.
Thank you. Any other brother? Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum
assalam. Yeah, slowly going towards this subject, which will probably be expounded next time more, but you touched on it right at the end. And the sister's question has relation to this. When she said, will Adam be punished? And it's quite clear that Adam was told, go down on the earth. So there must be a inferiority complex where he is being sent as a punishment. And that's where we are. And we haven't done anything to get here. Now, it's interesting, when you said against depression, that's when the question arises. Faith has this abject quality of giving you hope. One of the names of faith is hope. So when you look at the other surah, where the simple surah, it says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. It's already in abject. There's something inferior about the person being on earth. So can you start from there and then build it up to explain whether we are actually supposed to be in an inferior place to where Adam was, and we are supposed to strive to get to that Jannah, because inside us there is a fault. Now, if you can explain from that, as somebody having a fault, and then what do they have to do? With hope? Yes, I can understand. Hope is religion. Hope is God. Yeah? That exists in any religion that you look at. So, to me, it seems quite clear that hope is where the religion helps us. But is it true that we are starting from a lower level, from an inferiority complex, and we need to learn about religion so that we can build up ourselves and build up hope? Is that all there is to religion? I'm looking at it from a slightly different angle. Please.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we are in an inferior position, even compared to Adam and Eve, where they were in that paradise. Actually, they were in a very perilous position. Very, very perilous position, very delicate situation. And that meant that immediately after they had done the slightest sort of sin, they would have been expelled. And we don't want to be in that position, certainly. I mean, we should be thankful that Allah did not put us in that position, to then deprive us of what we were in before. Now, here we learn a lesson, and that's, although, of course, we were sent to earth, our parents. But everything was caters for us here. And خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا and وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا. Every barakah is put on this earth. The only thing is that Allah tells us, if you want to be in that position, that is a sinless status. We can be, we can take ourselves there if we are sinless. But certainly we don't have that capacity, or we don't have that sort of efforts made to take us there. And if we were there, if we were created there, and then we were sent down, we would have a different sort of problem, and that's the problem that Adam had to adapt himself to this life after being there. We are not striving to get there, because that's not Jannatul Akhira. We are striving for Jannatul Akhira. And therefore, even if we were in that paradise, in that garden, sorry, I always repeat paradise, even if we were in that garden, we had still to strive for Jannatul Akhira, as Adam had to. Yeah. So, no, I don't think we have any inferiority. Actually, we have an advantage here, that we are not put at that very, very delicate and perilous situation as Adam and Eve were. And that is one of the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to us. Because that life, whether in that garden or here, it was very short. It's the akhirah which is important.
Thank you, Sheikh. Any sisters? Sheikh, how was Hazrat Adam receiving knowledge? For example, what food to eat, what to avoid, and where did he get the idea to repent, for example?
Well, Adam was given great knowledge right from the beginning. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Before even putting Adam in that garden, Allah had taught him all the asma. And the asma were not only the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but asma of his beautiful names, which actually manifest or reflect in creation. So he had big knowledge of everything. And in that garden, apparently everything could be eaten, because Allah says, eat whatever you wish. And when the question comes, when Adam came to earth, how did he know what to eat and what not to eat? And either this was due to experience, or again due to a knowledge given to him by Allah, which the second part is more acceptable.
Yes, of course. Otherwise, if it was by experience, he could have died then by eating yeah. some poisonous fruit or whatever. But then the question arises as once on that lower level, well, on the earth, let's call it the earth, was he still? How was he then receiving the knowledge? Was the knowledge already there with him, or was inspiration, or wahy?
The knowledge which was taught to him was there, but for the new cases and anything he needed to know on a daily basis, of course, he received revelation from Allah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yes.
If Adam repented and he was again sinless and again very pure, surely he could still see that garden, because if he was already here on earth but he was in another level or another realm where he was in the original garden, but when he repented, because he was pure and he was now sinless,
yeah,
surely he was able to enter the other garden, although he was still on this earth.
It's just like sinless people who sometimes see Barzakh, but they do not live there anymore. I mean, we have traditions from our A'imma alayhi wasalam that sometimes, for example, they showed the gardens of Barzakh to some of their companions and followers. Okay, and very beautiful gardens that people say that we could not describe it. Just as some people who have on the verge of death have gone to Barzakh and they come back and they say that we saw things that could not be described at all. They showed it to them, but they do not live there. The point is that they can see it, but they cannot live there. We have all to live in this dimension. We have to eat from this food rather than from that food.
Again, other sisters, brothers. Yeah, sure.
Sorry, I'm not sure about how the order works in the Surah Taha, but the impression you gave was that Adam was actually not aware about, you know, the conversation with Shaitan, etc. But straight away, where verse 115, where it begins with the story of Adam, says, وَلَقَدْ أَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدُ لَهُ عَزْمًا, that we certainly gave a commandment to Adam before, but he forgot, and we did not find any determination in him. Then the verse about the malaika are told to prostrate before Adam is the next verse, and then clearly it says, فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكْ وَلِزَوْجِكْ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى, that we said to Adam, this is an enemy to you and your wife, let him not drive you both forth from the garden so that you should be unhappy. I mean, to me it seems that before all this happened, Adam was actually made absolutely aware that to watch out for Iblis, which is not the impression.
Yes, to watch out for Iblis. But after he was placed in the garden, that means he was placed in the garden, and then Allah told him that beware of this enemy, as the Surah Taha says, that فَلَا يُخْرَجَنَّكُمَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. So it means they were in garden, and then Allah told them, actually Allah showed them Iblis in person. قُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ إِنَّ هَذَا, this creature, عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلَزَوْجَكَ, this is your enemy. So it doesn't, of course, contradict what I said. It may be, of course, taught in a different way, that Adam was aware of all these conversations and everything. But especially the verse in Surah Taha says that what it actually implies is that Adam was unaware, and then Allah showed Iblis while he was living in the garden and told him, this is your enemy.
Thank you. Any sisters? Sheikh, the tree that we are talking about, is literally the tree or something else?
Now leave this for next week. This is our discussion for next week.
Last question from anybody? No? Thank you very much. Shukran. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.